Pentecost, and I often thought and reflected on all that I had been taught, especially about the first century church. And I always thought, you know, it would have been just neat to be a part of the first century church. All that transpired during the book of Acts and everything that was going on. And I thought, you know, that would have just been such an awesome thing to be a part of that. And I really can't even tell you when it transpired, but one time when I was thinking about that, I think the Lord just kind of dropped into my spirit another thought, and that was, yes, it would have been neat to be a part of the first century church, but I believe it's a greater privilege being a part of the last century church. Amen. I believe we're the last century church. Great things are happening. The Lord is moving in a mighty way. And we are excited about what God is doing. And it is so good to be in Ohio. Amen. And to feel the presence of the Lord here. Thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you, Pastor Roberts, for your kindness and for giving us a home here for a few days. We appreciate that. We've been here in your missionary quarters and so thankful for that. But we come to you today representing the nation of Chile, South America. And Chile is a very beautiful, a very interesting country. It is mountainous. The mountains run the whole length of the country. And it is the longest, narrowest country that you'll find on the globe. And it is on the southwestern side of South America. If you have time, look it up. And you'll see it just kind of takes about half of South America running down the Pacific Ocean there. And to put it in perspective for you, if you could bring Chile up here to the U.S., tip it over on its side, put one end at San Francisco, California, touching the Pacific Ocean, the other side would go out past New York City a little ways. That's how long it is, about 2,700 miles long, but it only averages about 140, 150 miles wide. So we don't have a whole lot of space to travel east and west, a little bit. But we run out of room pretty quick, but we do have plenty of room to travel north and south. And we do that, and God has blessed us. And, you know, I've got so much to thank the Lord for. He has been so good to me. And we are so privileged to be a part of His kingdom, of what He is doing, excited about what is transpiring. And I concur with Pastor Robert's revival is here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed worshiping the Lord with you. And you've got good music. Amen. God bless you. But more than good talent, you have worshipers. Amen. I want to be a worshiper. You know, the world has talent, but there's something that transpires when we begin to worship the Lord. Amen. But thank God for good, anointed, Holy Ghost talent. Amen. But you know, God has been so good to us, as I was saying. And I'm an MK, a missionary's kid. I grew up on the mission field. And my parents were missionaries in the nation of Chile. And that's pretty much home for me since my formative years were there. And one year in 1995, I went to conference. And, you know, we're talking about activities and camp meetings and conference. Good things happen in church. Great things happen at conference. I met my wife at conference in 1985 on April 5th, 1985. And then we were married about 10 months later. And the Lord has blessed us. We have two daughters, grown daughters now. One's 30 and is in California and stationed out on the Marine base at 29 Palms. Her husband is a career Marine, but they are active in the church. They're having revival on the base also. They're having Marines pray through the Holy Ghost on the base and baptize them in Jesus' name. You know, you and I just can't walk up and get on the base, but God's got people placed in strategic places all around the world. And it is so good to see what God is doing. Then our youngest daughter is finishing up her college and is active in her church. And it is just good to be a part of the family of God. And my wife and I were privileged to be missionaries to the country of Chile for 14 years. And then I jokingly tell people that God called us back to the U.S. as missionaries. But I guess it's true, because every born-again believer has a mission. We have a great commission. And wherever we are, we have a job to do, and that is to propagate this life-changing gospel to the world. And we came back and went under home missions to the city of Miami, Florida, started a church there, pastored there for 10 years. And then just to let you know that God has a sense of humor. How many know God has a sense of humor? I'm telling you, some people have the wrong concept about God. They think he's just all serious and gruff and everything. God has a sense of humor. He called us from beautiful, sunshiny, warm Miami to go to Michigan in January. 3 days after we got there, we got snowed in for 2 or 3 days, and we wondered what happened. I knew I heard the Lord, and you know, but I thought maybe I got it wrong. Instead of January, it should have been July or something. But we survived, and now after being back stateside for 21 years, the Lord has called us to go back to Chile, and we are very excited about that, and thank God for the privilege of returning back as soon as we finish our deputation, traveling, visiting the churches, raising the support that is required for us to go back. We will be going back to Chile. And, you know, a lot of missionaries, or some missionaries, have artifacts and things that they show from their country. I don't have anything here set up today, but I did bring a real-life Chilean, so you can see a real-life Chile. My wife is from Chile, and so I'd like for her to come and to greet you and let you see a little bit maybe what things are like from a different perspective, from a Chilean's perspective. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Me siento muy contenta porque estoy en este lugar.
I feel very happy to be here in this place.
Llegamos la semana pasada.
And we arrived last week.
Y hemos estado muy cómodo acá.
We've been very comfortable here.
Puedo notar que aquí hay un espíritu de bendición.
There's a spirit of blessing here.
Hay una buena música.
They have good music.
Todo tiene una buena calidad.
Everything is done with good quality.
Así que realmente estoy agradecida. Hoy día en la mañana desperté y casi siempre dormimos en diferentes camas en la semana.
And I woke this morning, and we usually sleep in different during the week, different beds every night.
Y casi siempre despierto en las noches.
And I always wake up during the middle of the night.
Pero aquí me acosté y el reloj me despertó en la mañana para ir a la iglesia.
And here I went to bed and didn't wake up till the alarm went off.
Ah, no me quería levantar porque la cama es buena.
I didn't want to get up. They have a good bed.
Así que se los aprecio realmente.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Pero por sobre todas las cosas me siento más contenta porque estoy en la casa del Señor Jesús.
But more than anything, I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Aunque yo no les puedo entender todos ustedes,
although I can understand all you say,
pero gracias a Dios a él no hay que entenderlo, sino hay que sentirlo en nuestras vidas.
Thank God we don't have to understand him, all we have to do is feel him in our lives.
Así que también quiero agradecer a Madres Memorial.
I also want to thank you for working for Mothers Memorial.
Porque yo sé que trabajan todo el año para apoyar a las esposas de los misioneros.
I know that the ladies work all year long to support and help the missionary wives.
Y yo soy una de ellas beneficiada.
And I am benefited by that.
Así que cuando nosotros llegamos a Chile, la lavadora y secadora de la cocina nos está esperando.
And when we arrive back in Chile, the ladies will provide us with a washer, dryer, stove, and refrigerator.
Y así ya podemos enfrentar los retos espirituales.
That way I can help face the spiritual challenges that are in front of us.
También quiero agradecerle porque apoyan al Instituto Bíblico.
Also I thank Mothers Memorial for supporting our Bible school.
Como dijo mi esposo, cuando nos conocimos, yo al mes siguiente yo entré a mi primer Instituto Bíblico.
And when I came into the United Pentecostal Church, the following month I enrolled in Bible school.
Así que yo estoy muy agradecida por aquello.
I'm very thankful for that.
Y también por mandar un misionero a mi país.
I thank you for sending a missionary to my country.
En mi país no existía la verdad.
In my country, the truth did not always exist.
Después de ello mismo, mi madre y mis hermanos fueron nacidos y criados en la Iglesia Católica.
My mother and my older siblings were born and raised in Catholicism.
Era todo lo que ellos conocían.
It's all they knew.
Ella dice cuando yo tenía como 6, 7 años se cambió a una iglesia cristiana.
And when I was about 6 or 7 years old, she changed to an evangelical Christian church.
Dice ella que el cambio le fue muy difícil.
And she relates that the change was difficult for her.
Así que iba dos, tal vez tres veces al mes a esa iglesia.
She would go 2 to 3 times a month.
Así que así me crié yo.
And that's the way I was raised.
Me crié en una iglesia pequeñita y hasta los 19 años.
I was raised in a small church until I was about 19.
Pero cuando tenía 14 años yo dije, esto no es para mí.
But when I was about 14, I decided this is not for me.
Cuando yo ya tenga mi mayoría de edad, yo me voy a ir de este lugar.
When I'm old enough, I'm just going to leave.
Así que llegó el día y yo recuerdo ese domingo, yo no fui a la iglesia.
I remember when the day came, that Sunday, I didn't go to church.
Yo no era una mujer que nunca ha probado droga, ni tampoco el mundo. Siempre me crié en ese lugar, tranquila.
I was never in the world and drugs and things of the world.
Pero como dice el pastor, era una iglesia muy tranquila.
But it, as the pastor mentioned, it was just a real calm church.
Íbamos y veníamos.
We would go and go back home.
Y entrábamos y salíamos igual.
We would come and leave the same way.
Así que ese domingo yo no fui a la iglesia, me fui a la casa de mi hermana.
So that particular Sunday, I went to my sister's house.
Y por equivocación me bajé como 2 o 3 blocks antes de su casa.
And by mistake, I got off the bus about 2 or 3 blocks too soon.
Así que no me quedó otra cosa que
So I had to walk.
Así que yo recuerdo como aquí en la segunda fila había un matrimonio con 2 niños.
And in front of me, from about here to the second row, I saw a young couple with their children.
Me llamó la atención 2 cosas de ese matrimonio.
2 things caught my attention.
Una de ellas porque era un matrimonio.
One was because it was a family.
Yo vengo de matrimonios que mis abuelos, mis padres, mis hermanos y toda la familia son divorciados.
In my family, my grandparents, my parents, my older brothers and sisters are all divorced.
Así que el concepto de familia no estaba en mí.
So we didn't have a family concept.
Así, y lo otro que me llamó la atención fue su manera de vestir.
And the other thing that caught my attention was the way that they were dressed.
Y yo dije, esto debe ser pentecostales.
I said, these must be Pentecostals.
Porque a mí me había enseñado que no podía entrar a una iglesia pentecostal.
I had been taught not to go into a Pentecostal
Porque
church.
Era muy diferente y a veces eran un poco locos.
And I had been taught that they were very different and sometimes could get a little crazy.
Pero fue tanta la atención que me llamó que yo los empecé a seguir.
But they caught my attention in such a way that I started to follow them.
Ellos caminaban rápido.
They would walk faster.
Y yo caminaba rápido.
I would speed up.
Ellos caminaban lento.
They would walk slower.
Yo caminaba lento.
I'd slow down.
Y así era, y así los observé por todo ese rato.
And I observed them during that time.
Y no me di ni cuenta cuando llegamos a un lugar muy grande.
And I didn't even really realize when we suddenly arrived at a very large building.
Y esa fue la primera vez que yo entré a una iglesia pentecostal.
That was the first time I ever set foot in the United Pentecostal Church.
Y hasta el día de hoy yo estoy aquí.
And from that day to this, I'm here.
Tal vez ustedes se preguntarán muchas veces si vale la pena apoyar a los misioneros.
At times you might wonder if it's worth the sacrifice to support missions.
Tal vez esos 20, 30 o 40 dólares que dan a misiones.
Maybe the 20, 30, 40 dollars that you give to missions.
Es un sacrificio.
Is a sacrifice.
O tal vez no le das la importancia.
You might think it's not that important.
Pero yo te quiero decir que Dios no es injusto por la ofrenda que ustedes dan.
But I want to let you know that God is not unjust to forget the offering you give.
Ustedes no se la dan al pastor.
You don't give it to the pastor.
Ustedes no se la dan a la iglesia.
You don't give it to the church.
Ustedes no se lo dan a los misioneros.
You don't give it to the missionaries.
Ustedes se lo dan para la obra de Dios.
You give it to the work of God.
Así como ustedes cambiaron mi maldición por la bendición de Dios.
And just as you changed the curse in my life into the blessing of God.
Así han cambiado la vida de muchas personas.
You've also changed the life of many people.
Yo ahora sí me siento una mujer cristiana.
I now am truly a Christian.
No solamente me siento una mujer cristiana de la cabeza a los pies, una mujer pentecostal.
I not only feel Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet.
Yo recuerdo cuando fui al instituto bíblico.
I remember when I went to Bible school.
Yo pensaba que yo conocía a Dios.
I thought I knew God.
Yo pensé que yo era una mujer cristiana.
I thought I was a Christian.
Pero después que fui al instituto bíblico,
but after I went to Bible school,
me di cuenta que yo no sabía nada.
I realized I didn't know anything.
Me di cuenta que yo realmente no conocía a Dios.
I really didn't know God.
Así que realmente yo se los aprecio.
So I appreciate your giving.
Estamos viviendo en tiempos tan inciertos.
We're living in such uncertain times.
Que realmente nosotros como iglesia nos necesitamos estar bien parados.
And as a church we must be steadfast.
Cuando yo entré a este lugar, este es un lugar con bastante unción.
When I entered into this place I felt the anointing.
Casi siempre cuando llego a muchas iglesias me quiero entrar y quiero salir.
A lot of times when you go to a church you want to go in and go back out.
Pero aquí dan ganas de quedarse.
But here you feel like staying.
Porque se siente un espíritu de limpieza.
Because there's a
clean spirit.
Se siente un espíritu de dirección.
Spirit of direction.
Pero por sobre todas las cosas se siente un espíritu de protección.
We feel a spirit of protection.
Así que yo les animo a ustedes que desde aquí ustedes sigan predicando el evangelio.
So I encourage you continue preaching the gospel.
Porque el mundo está totalmente desorientado.
The world is disoriented.
No saben para dónde ir.
They don't know which way to go.
Usted puede caminar y puede ver su rostro totalmente tristes e inciertos.
You can see in their faces you walk the sadness and the uncertainty.
Pero aquí se puede sentir que realmente este es un lugar seguro.
But we can feel this is a safe
place. Así que
place.
Yo les animo que sigan predicando el evangelio.
I encourage you keep preaching the gospel.
La naturaleza nos forma.
Nature forms us.
El pecado nos deforma.
Sin deforms us.
La escuela nos informa.
School informs us.
La religión nos reforma.
Religion reforms us.
Pero solamente nuestro Señor Jesucristo puede transformar nuestras vidas.
But only the Lord Jesus Christ can transform our lives.
Así que yo les animo que ustedes sigan predicando el evangelio.
I encourage you continue preaching the gospel.
Yo recuerdo cuando yo estaba creciendo en aquella iglesia.
I remember when I was growing up in my home church.
Siempre había como un vacío en mi corazón.
There was always an emptiness in my heart.
Así que muchas veces yo decía, ¿por qué yo existo?
Many times I questioned, why do I even exist?
¿Por qué yo estoy aquí?
Why am I here?
Pero yo después cuando conocí al Señor Jesucristo,
but after I came to know the Lord,
me di cuenta que Dios tenía un propósito en mi vida.
I realized God has a purpose for my life.
Se dice que el primer hijo y el segundo hijo es el hijo del amor.
They say in a family, the first and second child is a product of love.
Tal vez el tercero.
Maybe the third.
Yo soy el número 8.
But I'm number 8.
Así que te puedes preguntar, yo siempre me preguntaba, yo había sido una equivocación.
And I always wondered if I was a mistake.
Que tal vez yo era una más del grupo.
I was just another one of the
pero,
group.
Pero después cuando conocí al Señor y realmente yo pude ese toque especial de parte de Él.
And after I came to know the Lord and felt His special touch.
Me di cuenta que yo tenía un Padre Celestial.
I realized I have a Heavenly Father.
Y que Él me había creado con un propósito.
And that He created me with a purpose.
Que ya no era un número más.
I'm not just another number.
Que yo no era una equivocación.
I was not a mistake.
Sino que Él me había creado con un propósito.
He created me with a purpose.
Él me dio sentido a mi vida.
He gave reason to my life.
Así que yo les animo a cada uno de ustedes.
So I encourage each one of you.
Que sigan predicando el evangelio.
Continue preaching the gospel.
Y cumpliendo el propósito por el cual Dios nos creó. Que Dios les
and
bendiga.
Fulfill the purpose for which God created us. May God bless you.
Amen. Well, I trust that will let you see things from a little different vantage point. And Chile is, I'm so blessed to be able to report to you that Chile is experiencing revival. God is doing great things. Now, you think we have it bad here with COVID-19. It's worse there as far as the restrictions. The capital city, metropolitan area of the capital city of Santiago, is close to 8 million people. Every single one of those people, 8 million people, have to stay locked up in their homes. They can only get out twice a week with a special online police permit that they get to go to the grocery store for a couple hours. They check their temperature and check their printed out permit or on their mobile device before they can go in the grocery store. They go in the grocery store and have to go back home. But I'm thankful to tell you that in spite of all of that, God is still moving. Amen. People are still repenting of their sins, being baptized in Jesus' name. People are still receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is at work. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, COVID-19 is a problem for us, but not for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. And I'm still excited about serving the Lord. Hallelujah. We're anxious to get back to Chile and ask that you help us pray. Great things are transpiring there. As I mentioned, it's a long, narrow country. To get where we live in the capital city, about halfway down in the country, to get to our northernmost church, it takes us about 24 hours drive straight north on the Pan-American Highway through the Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world, to arrive up on the Peruvian border, the city of Arica. And I'm glad to tell you that we have churches up through the desert and people that love the Lord just like us. And then if you want to go to our southernmost church, that's a different story. Because you have to get in your car, get out on the Pan-American Highway, start driving south on Route 5 and drive and drive and drive and drive till the road ends. And then put your car on a ferry. ferried across the ocean a little ways, and they get on the other side and drive some more, and then get to the end of the road and put your car on another ferry. Get off and drive some more. You end up over in Argentina, and then back into Chile, then over in Argentina, back and forth and back and forth. Just keep doing it until you get tired, and then do it some more. Finally, 50 hours later, you'll pull up in the city of Punta Arenas. And I wish you could go with us to service there, because it's way down on the Straits of Magellan, down at the, you know, the Bible talks about Chile. You probably didn't realize that Chile's in the Bible. It talks about the uttermost parts of the earth. We're there all the way down. And but if you could go in there, you would find people just like us in United Pentecostal Church in Punta Arenas that love the Lord, worship God, sounds a little different, might look a little different, but the Holy Ghost is the same. And you would have the distinction of being in the southernmost United Pentecostal Church, not only in Chile, but the southernmost UPC work in the world. Way down in the point, farthest point of South America, folks love the Lord and serve God just like we do. And we are so thankful for what is going on, transpiring, excited. When we go back, we will not be pastoring as we did before, but we will be traveling, teaching seminars, helping teach in open Bible schools, working in ministerial development and training. And we'll be joining hands with a great group of Chilean ministers, saints, and we ask that you pray for us. And if you would allow me to, I would like to leave you a prayer request today. Is that all right? Has anybody here heard of Easter Island? You might have seen some pictures of great big tall statues. They got big noses made out of stone. There's over 800 of them on Easter Island. It belongs to Chile, and I guess you could call it our Hawaii, because it is 2,300 miles out into the Pacific Ocean. And the people there are not anything like the people on mainland, who are basically of European descent. The people on Easter Island are Polynesians, just like other South Pacific islands. And to our knowledge, no one has ever taken the one God apostolic message to the Rapa Nui people of Easter Island. And I feel a burden for that, that the Lord would somehow open the door for us. But there's a problem. I can't go as and say I'm a missionary from the United Pentecostal Church International. I want to come and start a church on Easter Island, because the Chilean government, as well as the local Easter Island authorities, are very protective of their culture and their heritage. They don't want anybody coming in to try to change anything. It's almost even impossible for us to send one of our national pastors from Chile out to the island. But we serve a strategic God. Nothing's impossible for him. He knows exactly how to open the door. So we ask that you pray that God would open the door, and that we would be ready to be used of God. And maybe, you know, the Lord would just cause one of the saints in one of our churches somewhere to get a job where somebody from Easter Island would be living on the mainland, working the job. They could befriend them, teach them a home Bible study, be there as they repent. We could baptize them in Jesus' name, rejoice as they receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and then say, all right, take this treasure back out to your people. I believe it's possible for us to reach Easter Island and other unevangelized areas, which are many in Chile, before the coming of the Lord. Amen. And we understand that time is running out, but I'm thankful that we're alive right now, and that the power of God is breaking down barriers and great things are transpiring. And we ask that you pray for us, and also would like to invite each and every one of you here today. There is open enrollment in CRT, the Chilean Revival Team. We'd like to invite you to become a part of the Chilean Revival Team through prayer and through financial monthly giving through partners and missions. We ask that you consider becoming involved in the work of God in Chile. And as soon as we raise the support we need, we will head back and are expecting great things in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the work of God is wonderful. Kind of reminds me of a pencil. You say, well, I just really never thought of pencils as being wonderful. Well, just bear with me here a minute. Probably most of us never stop and think about how pencils are made. We had the opportunity to deputize last fall through the Pacific Northwest. And the timber industry is a major part of the economy out in the Pacific Northwest. The wood for the pencil could come from the timber industry, where hundreds and thousands of people work up on the Pacific Northwest coast of the U.S. The lead, the graphite that they use for the lead in the pencil, you know, that could come from maybe a mine in northern South America somewhere. Again, hundreds and thousands of people work in the mining industry. And the eraser, you know, the part I wear out quickest, wouldn't you think with technology they would make an eraser that would last longer? Of course, they'd probably just tell me not make so many mistakes and it would last. But that could come, the rubber for that could come from maybe a rubber plantation in Malaysia. Large industry there, but the hundreds and thousands of people in Malaysia never see the people in the Pacific Northwest in the timber industry. They don't ever see the folks in the mining industry. Really don't even know what's going on there. But the timber industry, the mining industry, the rubber industry, everybody works and does their job and they produce their product. And then they ship it sometimes around the globe. That's a whole separate industry there. A lot more people involved in that until it gets to the pencil factory. I really don't know how they make pencils. They do whatever they do. Paint them yellow, stamp number 2 on them, and ship them to Walmart or the Dollar Tree or wherever you buy your pencils. And we bring them home, sharpen them up, use them, and never think about it. But the next time you get a pencil out, stop and think. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of people around the world did their job so that we could have a pencil. Never seeing each other, but faithfully carrying out their duties, producing the product that makes pencils. The kingdom of God is very much the same. He's given different callings, different talents, different abilities. I don't have the talent you have. You don't have the calling someone else has. But we don't have to do each other's job. We just have to do the job that the Lord has called us to do. And we are a part of not making pencils. Some, you know, pencils are temporal. They don't last very long. We break them, lose them, whatever, use them up. But we're a part of something that is eternal, that is reaching the world with the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a privilege it is to be a part of the church. And I believe that we're living in the time of greatest revival the world has ever known. I think it's just going to continue growing. I want to be a part of it. Amen. I want to be a part of it and just do whatever the Lord would allow me to do. Praise God. And now before I finish up here talking about Chile, there usually are at least a couple favorite questions people have, most popular questions, and so I'll try to answer them. I guess back as far as I can remember, even when I was an MK traveling with my parents on deputation, people would ask, do you eat chili? See, you already thought of it probably. Do you eat chili in Chile? I'm sorry to disappoint you, we don't. You have to go to Wendy's, and we don't have Wendy's. We have all the necessary ingredients to make chili. They just don't have the recipe or don't know about it or whatever. If you have an entrepreneurial spirit about you, I guess, maybe you could come to Chile and open a chili restaurant in Chile. Who knows? It might go real good. And another question folks like to ask is it chili in Chile? And then they laugh because, you know, that's South America, jungles. Well, we don't have any jungles in Chile. We have a desert. And yes, it is chilly in Chile. Right now, it's wintertime in Chile right now. And the farther south you go, the chillier it gets, up into the point where you'll find glaciers and icebergs and penguins. So it can get pretty chilly in southern part of Chile. But revival fires are burning. Amen. The Lord is doing great things. I could talk to you at great length about Chile. I get very excited and passionate about it. But instead of spending all day talking about Chile, hopefully we've said enough to let you see a little bit about it, but let's go to the Word of the Lord. Let's talk about God for a while. Amen? Ezra chapter 2. Again, it is such an honor to be here with you. Thank you, Pastor Roberts, for allowing us to come and share our burden with you. Ezra, the second chapter, and read verse 1. Before I start, I do want to give you a disclaimer. Don't get nervous on me, please. I know when people talk about disclaimers, we tend to get a little uneasy thinking something bad could happen. If the Lord has his will, nothing bad will happen. Amen. But I do need to let you know that since I am an MK, grew up on the mission field, began my ministry there, I went back as a missionary. Even when we came to back to the States, we went and pastored a church, Home Missions Church. We started in Miami. That was all Spanish. We had 16 different nationalities, but they were all Hispanics. Then we went to Michigan, pastored an English-speaking church, but at the same time, we had a Spanish-speaking congregation. So the vast majority of my ministry has been in Spanish. And I have been known to supposedly be preaching along in English. And I don't know what happens or how it happens, but I have many times said a word or two or three or more in Spanish. So if I do that today, just bear with me, please. Say, God bless him. He just doesn't know any better. But I'm thankful the Lord knows all about me, and in spite of it, he loves me. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord knows you? If everyone else knew us like the Lord knows us, we wouldn't have a friend on earth. But oh, the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you will allow me to, I would like to start off like we would in Chile. Is that okay? Thank you for your confidence. Whenever you find Ezra chapter 2, verse 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right, that makes me feel at home. It says, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one into his city. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you about loss of identity. Lost identity. According to the dictionary, identity is the condition of being a certain person or thing. It also says a set of characteristics by which a person or thing is definitely recognizable or known. The fact or condition of being associated or affiliated with something else. And the fact or condition of being the same as something else. And then it has a word you don't hear much in the world, but you hear it a lot at church: oneness. We live in a confused world. We've seen that in the last few months more than ever before. 2020 has been a challenging year, and it's not over. But it didn't happen in 2020. Our world, for longer than any of us have ever been around, is suffering from a loss of identity. The world is having an identity crisis. Humankind in general. Back, well, I guess it was last July, I had the privilege of going with my wife and our youngest daughter to NAYC. I'd never been to NAYC before. Had a great time. North American Youth Congress. And great, great experience. I'm not the least bit repentant about going. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I went. and great preaching, great singing, great fellowship, just a great time. But I did have something happen at NAYC that wasn't too great. My wife needed to go to the store, and so I stayed out, and while I was out, I had something that I bought from Walmart, and I needed to return it, so I walked into Walmart and was standing in line at the customer service area. And I got a text on my phone, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. I looked at it, and I said, well, I'll just check it when I get back to the car, because I was next in line and ready to walk up to the service center there, the counter. And when I got finished, returned my product, got the credit back for what I had purchased, and I walking out to the car, I opened up my phone and began to read the text. Now, I like to get texts from my friends and my family. We stay in touch a lot with our daughters through text. But this text was not my friends or my family. It was Huntington Bank. I don't like to get texts from the bank. I like the bank, but I don't like them to contact me. And I started reading it, got to the car, and read it. And the only thing I could understand out of it was they were asking me if I had made a recent purchase in upstate New York for $468. They said, if you haven't, please contact us immediately. Well, I called the bank. My wife, about that time, came to the car and she said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. And I was talking to the person on the other end there at the bank. They said, apparently somebody has charged your account, your debit card, for $468 in New York. I said, well, that's not me. I'm in St. Louis. And we kept going. And also they said, we have a charge here. And I opened up my app and I was looking through it. You know how you do. And I also found that someone that very day had bought pizza. Now, I love pizza. I've eaten a lot of pizza. But I've never bought $183 worth of pizza at one time. You know, that'd probably go pretty long ways here with everybody. We finally came to the conclusion someone had hacked my account, stolen my identity. And thank the Lord they caught it. Thank God for Huntington Bank who sent that, whoever did it, automated, whatever, that sent that text out. I got off easy. They took the $168 out. No, they stopped that. They did get $183, and we disputed it and took a few weeks, and I got the other money back. There have been people that have had their life savings wiped out. Why? Because identity theft is a real problem in our world. It is a situation that we know all too well. You know, after that, I always have checked my app pretty frequently. After that, I wear that thing out. I don't want to go through that again. Here in the book of Ezra, we find that something transpired as the people of God begin to return back to their land from Babylon after being in captivity. And as they returned, you can only imagine the joy, the rejoicing, the celebration as around 50,000 returned back to rebuild the temple with joy and anticipation, rejoicing in God. Oh, finally, we're going back home. After 70 long years in captivity, now we get to go back and now we get to worship God the way we want to and the way we should in the right place. And we don't have to work and live enslaved anymore to Babylon. I won't take time to read them, take us a little while because the names are a little bit difficult to pronounce sometimes. But from chapter one, from in the same chapter, chapter 2, from verses 2 all the way down through 58, it lists who went back by name, what family they belonged to. And it tells you who they were and as they went back. And finally, we come up on the 59th verse. And reading in the 59th verse, we find something, and it says, "And these were they which went up from Telmela, Telharsa, Cherub, Adan, and Immer. But they could not show their father's house and their seed, whether they were of Israel." The New Living Translation says, perhaps a little clearer, "And another group returned at this time to the towns of Telmela, Telharsa, Cherub, Adan, and Immer. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel." Along with the 50,000 that went back and they were able to prove, and they were, and it lists what family they were from and their lineage, there was a group of people among them that went back to Jerusalem also with the same rejoicing, with the same expectation. But the problem was when they got back, they were unable to prove that they were truly of Israel. Scriptures doesn't say that they were wicked people. It doesn't even say that they were not of Israel. It says they were not able to prove their identity. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened. Somewhere in captivity, they had fallen victims to loss of identity. And it was vital for the children of Israel to be able to prove, to show, we belong, we are a part of God's people. It became more than just an inconvenience. It was a tremendous problem. Because they couldn't show, we belong. We're a part of this. We have the privilege, the right to be here. Your identity is vital in everything you do. Reading in the New Testament, we also find a situation of loss of identity. A young man came to his father one day and said, "Dad, I'm ready to leave home. I want my share of the inheritance." His father dealt with him, tried to convince him otherwise. He found out, "I'm not going to convince him." So he gave him his share and he went and lived riotously, spending his money, spending his inheritance, far from home. But when his money ran out, his friends ran out. Not only did he lose his money, he lost his identity. It's a bad thing to be broke. My mom always said it's not a sin to be poor, it's just frightfully inconvenient. But he had lost his identity because he ended up taking care of the swine, had nothing to eat, desired to eat the pig's food. Finally, he thought, "I need to get out of here somehow." He said, "I'm going to get up out of here. I'm going to arise and go back to my father, because there's a lot of servants at home that have more than enough to eat. I'm just going to tell him, 'Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of the servants.'" You see, he had allowed the enemy to steal his identity. Just as there are those who specialize in stealing our identity today. Online identity theft. Now there's, they tell me that there are scanners where they can walk up right beside you if you don't have your cards in a protected case. They can just scan right by you, Get your information and use it. There is an adversary who's not trying to steal our debit or credit card identification, but he is trying to steal our identity that is God-given, and he wants to take it away from us as he did the prodigal son. You see, it's inconvenient. It's bad to lose your identity and have your bank accounts hacked. But there's something a whole lot worse that can transpire, and that is we can lose our relationship with Almighty God. That's why our world is in chaos right now. That's why people are doing all kinds of things that don't make any sense. And you look at them, and you can see in their faces. You wonder, what's going on? What are they thinking about? The enemy has come in and stole their identity. They have no direction. No understanding of what life is about. No purpose, no direction, no goal in life. You see, living a life separated from the Lord. The story of the prodigal son tells us about that. Living a life separated from God will always cause a person to lose their identity. But oh, I'm thankful that our closeness to the Lord and being around the people of God as we are today reaffirms and assures us we have an identity. Our world's in chaos. Everything is upside down. But there is an identity as oneness apostolics that we have, and that in the midst of the storm and in the midst of confusion, we can still say, I know who I have believed. I'm here to encourage you today. Don't get despondent and despair in all of the confusion that's going on in the world. Amen. We have an identity. Those who have an identity have a hope. Those who have that identity have direction in their life. Oh, I want to make my identity sure in Jesus Christ today. It is the strategy of the enemy, however, to cause us as children of God to lose our identity. Cause us to forget who we are and whose we are. This world just kind of has a way of just sweeping you along. There's a strong current that, if we're not careful, can begin to sweep us off our feet, taking us in a direction that we don't want to go. But oh, how blessed we are to be able to come to the house of the Lord. You know, the psalmist, he got to a place in his life, he said, you know, I almost lost my footing. He said, you know, that current about got a hold of me and started washing me downstream, and I almost lost my footing. I almost slipped, he said, but something happened. I was able to make it to the house of God. I was able to enter into the sanctuary. I was able to get in God's presence. I was able to be around the people of God. And then I understood. Then my identity was affirmed. Oh, thank God that there is an assurance. No wonder the songwriter said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Thank God today. There is an identity, there is direction for each and every one of us who are here. The Apostle John wrote and said, oh, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed us upon us, that we could be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What an awesome privilege we have, not only to have an identity, but also to be able to tell those who have lost their identity, you can have a brand new identity in Jesus Christ. This is not an exclusive gospel. This is an all-inclusive gospel. Whosoever will. That's why we're going back to the nation of Chile. That's why the doors of this church are open. Amen. Because that we want to tell the world, you don't have to be swept downstream. You don't have to go along with all that's going on and lose your identity and get to the end of the road like those who went back to Jerusalem and found out all too late. that they had no identity. The historian Carolee Erickson wrote, her disguises did not work. The Queen of France from May 10th, 1774 to January 21st, 1793 was young, energetic, and immature. And she longed to get out of the palace with its royal constraints and be around people of her own age. So resisting the limitations of royal life, she would disguise herself and go to parties and balls. But even though she tried, even though she would be with her face covered in the mask balls, it was said that Marie Antoinette could not hide her true identity. People would always pick her out. She wouldn't have her entourage around people, but people could say, "That's Marie Antoinette." The thing about her was, history tells us, her rapid and decisive paces were her mark of distinction. It was said she could never disguise herself successfully because no matter how she dressed, she always walked like an empress. Her walk gave away her identity. I want to walk. I want my walk with God to give away my identity. I want it to be said of me that when I walk like a child of God. When we walk in the world full of confusion, may others see in us, not for our glory, but may they see our light and glorify our heavenly Father. What a privilege it is to be alive in 2020 and have a true apostolic identity that we benefit from ourselves, but we can share it with others. This is not for us to take and gloat and say, "Oh, I've got an identity," but this is for us to take and share and say, "Hey, friend, you can have an identity. I've found an identity. Before, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what the purpose of my life was. I didn't know who it was, but I found an identity, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our God is awesome." Amen. I invite you to stand with me today. Church, it's not time to despair. It's not time to be distraught. It's time to rejoice in the Lord. It's time to walk like children of the King. It's time to have our identity sure, to make our callings and elections sure, and know that we are living near the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And with joy and gladness. If you're here today and are going through situations in your life where you need direction, I want to encourage you in Jesus Christ. There is an identity. There is direction, there is hope, there is peace. There is a special anointing that is here in this place, not because of any of us, but because of Him. Hallelujah. There's a fresh anointing. There is direction for your life. There is blessing. There is a true identity. It's not the true identity that we have, you know, with our new driver's license. They have to have true ID. No, that's not the true ID. The true ID is being born again of the water and the Spirit, having the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Almighty God dwelling with it. Could we raise our hands and thank Him for His presence right now? We exalt You and love You, Lord. Thank You for Your blessings. Why don't you come and renew that commitment? Keep that identity strong. Reassure God that
we have a place of identity. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thankful. Hallelujah, that we have a house that we can run to. Hallelujah, we have a rock we can stand upon. And that rock is Jesus. Amen. Praise God. God has got our attention today. That we have to show the world who we are. Amen. It's by our walk. Amen. By who we are. They know by the way you walk. Amen. And that speaks to them. And you have the opportunity to share the love of God when they say, I know who you are because of the difference that I sense in your life and that I see in you. And you can tell them that the reason for that is you've repented of your sins, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you've been filled with the powerful Holy Ghost presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can help them find their identity. Amen. But when we're struggling and when we're almost like David, we come to that slipping point. We can run to the source, the house of God, and we can restore that identity, the presence of God touching our life. Amen. We need the house of God. Amen. Praise God. God has our attention, and we are living in the greatest day to ever live. Amen. He said the latter rain would be greater. Amen. 7 times greater. That we're going to see in the book of Acts. What you saw in the book of Acts is going to be 7 times greater right now. Amen. Whatever miracle you saw there, just expect it even greater in your life today. Amen. Go out and show the world your identity. That's all they need to see. Amen. Show them who you are. And God will speak to them. Praise God. Thank you. Let's just be a witness this week. Amen. Be inviting people to this house this week. Young people, adults, let's come. Bring somebody. Bring a young person. Bring your neighbor that's young to experience camp meeting. Amen. And see what God will do. And then Sunday, let's come fill out the what you're going to bring as far as meals. Amen. And we'll have a great time Sunday. Brother Teron Sanders will be with us preaching the gospel. Powerful man of God. Amen. God can do a miracle in your family member if you get them here. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Be dismissed. Greet our guest. Amen. Jesus. Sure.